Okay, welcome to the course on structural ecosystem modeling. And my name is Mikko Ranka. For this day and tomorrow, we'll be talking about structural ecosystem modeling and doing structural ecosystem modeling. And I have to apologize for my voice, I'm a little bit sick, but I hope I can carry through the day. So I think I've seen most of you here before, so we'll just go through the practicalities quickly. For those who haven't participated in any of the previous courses. And the idea of the course series is that we build on the things that we have done in the previous parts. So some of this, the material that I present today, builds on the factor analysis and buils on the mediation models that we talked about on the second and third part. But we'll review that stuff. So if you didn't participate in one of those, then it's still possible to understand what we are talking about here. And if you have questions, just raise your hands and then I can clarify. So the practicalities of the course series we have, I want you to know roughly four categories of things. You should have a basic understanding of the principles and design of quantitative research. We're not gonna talk about research design as much on these 2 days as we have been talking about before. So today is more, and tomorrow is more about analysis. And then at the end of tomorrow, we'll talk a bit about research design. Then you should know what a statistical model is and how models are estimated and what kind of assumptions some estimation techniques make, why that's important, and kind of like have the basics so that you can do self-study. And I give you good books that I have found useful for myself as background material and as a pre-reading material. So if you ever have any things that you want to know about structural ecosystem modeling, now you know that Klein's book is the first resource to go to. And if you find that that doesn't go into sufficient detail, then he cites other books and other articles that do. So I try to give you some things that you can get you started when you study things on your own. Even if you complete your PhD and you do it really well using structural ecosystem modeling, you still have to do studying through your career because this is a field that is developing constantly. So we get new techniques, new tools. We find our limitations from existing techniques so that we no longer use them and so on. Then you should be able to specify and estimate basic models using the software of your choice. We do R, SPSS, and STATA, so you can pick one of those. And I prepared screencasts for each of those softwares to do some analysis, and then we can discuss those analysis. And finally, you should understand how research is reported, quantitative research, and evaluate the quality of the research done by others. So how many of you, when you see a paper that uses structural ecosystem modeling, can evaluate whether it has been reported appropriately or not? Yeah, well, that's a good reason to be on the course.
Yes.
So what's the first thing that you look at when you see a structural ecosystem model being reported? What do you think?
Nice picture and diagram.
No, you look at the chi-square statistic. And if the paper doesn't report chi-square statistic, it's not worth reading because it's not done properly. The course series consists of 6 courses. We are now on the course number 4. So we did basics of inference regression, then we did advanced regression analysis. Then in the beginning of this year, we did measurement and factor analysis. And what we're going to be talking about today is largely continuous from the January's session. And then we have this part, confounder factor analysis, structural ecosystem modeling. In April, we'll talk about multi-level modeling. Multi-level models are models where we can't assume that the observations are independent. For example, if you have students in classes in schools, then the classes within the same school are more likely to be more similar than 2 classes in 2 separate schools. So we talk about that kind of things, and also longitudinal analysis. So if you observe people or organizations over time, then the observations of a person over time are going to be more similar than two observations of two different people cross-sectionally. And that needs to be taken into account. Sometimes it's something that you could be interested in, sometimes it's a nuisance that you have to deal with in your analysis. So we're going to talk about that in April, and in May we're going to talk about recent advances in quantitative research. So we're going to cover a couple of debates and cover some techniques that are not commonly discussed in introductory textbooks, but are very useful nevertheless. So other practicalities, we have all the material, all papers and books, with a couple of exceptions that I cite, are available on the course of their library. There is a lots of other material as well, because I've changed some of the articles that I've used over the years. So everything that I've used in the past is there. You don't have to read it, but it's available for you if you want to. And assignments, we have two assignments. So you have the pre-reading assignment, and that's and then you have a post-class analysis assignment. Both are to be submitted in Moodle, and the deadline for the data analysis assignment is always 2 weeks after the class. So end of next week is the next deadline for the analysis.
Yeah. So may I ask you a question? What is the sixth? They were saying that there was advanced methods or something like that, or
this
is an advanced design. Yeah, what are you going to talk about? A bit of an excerpt or something like that?
Well, I'm going to talk about selection models. I'm going to talk about missing data.
Okay.
And then I'm going to talk about alternative forms of inference. So one thing that it's currently being debated a lot is whether we should use p-value or not. And I think p-value is useful, but we shouldn't base the whether the results are published or not based on the p-value, because that creates a selection problem in the actual research results.
Yes.
And how you can deal with the... But the problem is that many reviewers think that p-value measures the quality of your research. It doesn't. So when you face a reviewer who says that your results are not statistically significant, but you still have a good design, so what do you do about that? And you can do power analysis and things like that. So I'll talk about that kind of techniques. Not any particular like structural ecosomological factor as a regression, but just like broader set of things that you might want to learn.
Perfect.
And then we'll go through editorials from leading journals from the past years, past couple of years, where journals have been announcing new policies, like, for example, a policy of banning p-values. So what drives that kind of policy? Why that kind of policy is taken into use? And so on. So we'll talk about that kind of things in the sixth class. I'll update the course, the Moodle page, sometimes in the next couple of weeks and explain the content there. But it's still a couple of months from now. Then if you want some guidance, you have questions, you can of course ask them in the class. You can also ask them on the course forum. So we have the discussion forum in Moodle. You can ask about your own research, you can ask about things in the class. If you find a paper that you can't understand, you can post there and I'll try to answer your question. If I can't answer your question, then I will point you to somebody who can. So then if you want to ask questions face-to-face, of course, if you study here, you can just send me an email and book an appointment, or you can ask during the computer classes. Email me only if you have a personal question. So if you have a question about substance of the course, it may be something that's relevant for somebody else as well. So let's keep that kind of things in the course form. If someone doesn't want to get the course from emails, they can always unsubscribe. So schedule for part four. So what are we going to do under the broad label of structural ecosystem modeling? Today we're going to talk about path analysis models first, and we start with simple mediation model, estimation and testing, then we talk about recursive and non-recursive models. Then after a break, or right before lunch, we'll talk about confounder factor analysis and a little bit of model testing and diagnostics for that kind of models. So confirmatory factor analysis is kind of like a more rigorous version of exploratory factor analysis, if you want to think of it as that way. Then tomorrow we'll talk about structural regression models, which is what most people think when they hear the word structural regression model. We'll talk about diagnostics modeling strategies, including two-step modeling and nested model comparisons, modification indices, and so on. Then we'll talk about the role of assumptions in structural regression modeling. So every statistical technique that you could apply, if you want to make any causal inferences, requires a certain set of assumptions. For example, in a regression analysis, you have to assume that the error term is independent of your explanatory variables. That's an assumption that cannot be tested. That just has to be assumed. It comes from your research design. And structural regression modeling has similar sets of assumptions. Some of them can be relaxed, some of them cannot be relaxed. And what do you do when a reviewer says that your data or your model doesn't satisfy the assumptions of your estimation technique? So we're going to talk about that kind of things. Then we'll have current issues and debates in structural regression modeling. So we always started by introducing who's in the class, because not everybody participates in every class. So I'll start by introducing myself. My name is Mikko Ranka, and I'm a postdoc researcher here. I defended 2.5 years ago, I did my dissertation on misuse of structural regression modeling. And since then, I've written about research methods and particular quantitative methods that I've been doing teaching at a couple of universities. And I'm also on the editorial board for Operations and Research Methods, and I'm associate editor of Journal of Operations Management, and I review papers for the methodology for that journal. So that's a bit of my background, and then we can go from there.
So my name is Antti Rikiev, postdoc at Tampere University of Technology.
My name is Adrian Santos. I work as a PhD student in the University of Oulu, Information and Processing Science Department. I just came here because the previous class was really nice, I have to say, on the factor analysis, and I just want to know how it goes as well in this one.
Good morning, my name is
Lutzer.
I'm also from Oulu University Information Processing Science Department. I'm a second year PhD student, and my research is on empirical software engineering.
Hello, I'm from the same department, and I'm a PhD student. And I've been attending all the courses, so I'm here to take this one. So.
Hello, I'm from the faculty of IT here in Nebraska, and it's my 6 months here.
My name is Nicole, and I'm a student in this university, and my major is information security management.
My name is Fritz Lover. I'm also from here, a PhD student, and my major is organizational ICT.
My name is Giuseppe Schreier, and I submitted my doctoral dissertation in open source software in the University of Turku, and now in Open Academy in the Capital Film Project for the next years. Unfortunately, we have often project meetings at the same time as the seminar, so I'm really interested in the course. Unfortunately, I cannot come most of the time, so I'm really looking forward to learn more about the details. A lot of people think that you should not graduate from information system major without really knowing about statistics.
Yeah, I think it's a big problem that people do graduate and they don't know this stuff well, and then they have to teach this stuff, and that means that their students will not know this stuff well, and eventually no one, including the editors and journals, know this stuff well. So, yeah, it's important that you get the basics right in the beginning, because then it'll if you get to be in a supervisor position and you don't know your basics, then your students are screwed and they might not know about it.
Yeah, my name is Abayomi Bahirik, and I'm one of those that just had a PhD without having a sound foundation in statistics. I kind of finished my PhD last month, and I'm looking forward to learning more from it.
Yeah, first of all, congrats for your is Raju Prabhu from Outdoor University School of Business, Management Science Department. I'm a fourth year PhD student and I'm writing my dissertation on fixed based prediction tools.
Okay, yeah.
I'm Elia Ramoimonen and I'm from Tampere University of Technology postdoc, and I completely agree that in industrial management we don't have the tradition to go through these, and my research has been very qualitative of in nature. Now I simply see that I need to know this too.
Yeah, it's funny how people start to worry about research methods after they defend their dissertation. So I'm running a course in Aalto in this spring, and about half of the people in my course are from the faculty. So that's fine. Anyway, let's start with a small classroom discussion. So you get to form small groups, and your task is to answer a question: what is structural ecosystem modeling, and why would you want to use structural ecosystem modeling? So how many of you first think that structural ecosystem modeling is easy? I don't. Well, if something is complicated, then you must have a good reason for using it. So why? Try to come up with an answer to these questions. What is structural ecosystem modeling, and why would you want to use it?
You know, Nico, I think this might be kind of like a car. I mean, you don't know how to build it. I mean, you don't know the thing inside, but using it, it should be like two clicks as usual, right?
You think using structural ecosystem modeling is easy?
Two clicks. I mean, not the inside as a car. I will have no idea how.
Even if you don't have an idea of how it works, if you think using structural ecosystem modeling is easy, then you're not doing it properly. Okay, so let's have this small class discussion. So you get to form groups of about four people and think together what are the advantages and disadvantages of structural ecosystem modeling, and what really is structural ecosystem modeling.
What do you think about
the structure of the